All right, ready to tackle Romans 6:1-11.
Oh, yeah.
This passage, it's notorious, you know.
Wrestling. Trips people up.
Big time. But it's also, like, the key to understanding how Paul saw the whole Christian life thing.
Absolutely crucial.
So we're going to use some insights from Dr. Dave Matthewson.
Oh, great choice.
His lecture on hermeneutics.
Oh, yeah.
To help us crack this thing open.
It's packed, you know. Theologically, I mean.
Oh, totally. Dynamite.
Loaded.
But before we even get to verse one, mm-hmm. can we back up a bit? Why did Paul even write Romans in the first place?
Well, he was on his way to Jerusalem at the time.
Okay.
And hoping to visit Rome afterwards.
Makes sense.
Even had dreams of going all the way to Spain.
Wow. Ambitious.
Yeah. He saw Rome as like a vital base for spreading the gospel, you know.
So he's writing to kind of prep the ground a bit.
Exactly.
Before he gets there.
Exactly.
Like, hey, Rome, here's what I believe.
That's it. Laying out his understanding of the gospel. Especially important because
yeah.
the Roman church was this mix
yeah.
of Jewish and Gentile Christians.
No, that's right.
Who needed to be unified.
Yeah, that's just a few years after Emperor Claudius kicks all the Jews out of Rome.
Right.
So things must have been...
oh, very tense.
Tense. Yeah.
Absolutely. So Paul, you know, carefully explains his beliefs.
Okay.
Really emphasizing how both Jews and Gentiles
right.
are saved by grace. Through faith in Jesus.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
So then he gets to chapter 6. And this is where it gets really interesting, right?
Yes.
It's like, hold on. If we're saved by grace, not works,
yeah.
does that mean we can just keep on sinning?
The million-dollar question.
Right.
And Paul, he doesn't shy away from it at all.
No?
He uses this, like, powerful rhetorical technique.
Oh, I see.
To set up that objection. Makes his response even stronger.
Wait, is that what Matthewson calls a diatribe?
Exactly.
It's like Paul's having this imaginary debate
yeah,
in the letter.
Totally. Yeah. It would have been a familiar teaching style for his audience. I mean.
Okay, so I'm picturing this like intense classroom debate.
Yeah.
And Paul just throws down the gauntlet.
Uh-huh.
Romans 6:1.
Okay.
What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?
Ooh.
There it is.
Right.
And his answer is just resounding. By no means.
Okay, strong start.
Right. Then he hits us with this zinger.
Yeah.
How can we, who died to sin, still live in it?
Whoa, hold up. Died to sin?
Mm-hmm.
Is Paul being literal here?
Matthewson says yes.
Really?
He links this back to the contrast, you know, between Adam and Christ.
Uh-huh.
That Paul sets up back in chapter 5.
Okay, remind me about that.
Sure. Paul talks about these two eras, right? First, you have Adam's reign.
Okay.
Where sin and death rule.
Mm-hmm.
Then Christ comes along.
Right.
And inaugurates a new era, an era of life.
So to escape sin's power...
Mm-hmm.
You have to die.
Mm.
I don't think that's what most people have in mind when they talk about grace.
Right. It's a paradox for sure. But thankfully, Paul's talking about a different kind of death. All right. I'm all ears. What kind of death are we talking about here?
Paul says we died through baptism.
Oh.
Into Christ.
Okay.
That's like being buried
mm-hmm.
and raised with him.
I see.
Leaving that old life behind.
Okay. So is he talking about literal water baptism here?
Yeah.
Or is it more symbolic?
Mm.
Like being baptized by the Holy Spirit.
That's a big debate.
Yeah.
Matthewson, he leans towards a literal interpretation.
Mm.
He sees baptism as kind of shorthand
okay.
for the whole conversion experience.
Oh, interesting.
You know, faith, the Holy Spirit, the whole shebang.
Wow. If baptism is that central, why don't we hear more about it today?
That's a great question. Maybe somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
We lost sight of the radical transformation it signified. You know, for the early church.
It wasn't just a symbolic ritual. It was a sign
yes.
that you were breaking with your old life
mm-hmm.
and stepping into a new one.
Exactly. And that new life.
Yeah.
It's all about freedom.
That's right.
Freedom. Yeah. This baptism, this death to sin, it throws us right into this whole new experience of freedom. Matthewson, he really highlights how Paul uses this language of slavery.
Oh, how interesting.
To drive this point home.
Okay, how so?
Well, he describes sin as this, like, cruel master
mm-hmm.
that we're enslaved to, right?
Yeah.
But when we're united with Christ, It's like we're set free from that tyranny.
So it's not just about like feeling less sinful. It's about being fundamentally free from sin's control.
Exactly.
That's a pretty radical shift.
It is. And to understand it, we got to grasp what Paul means.
Yeah.
When he talks about the old self being crucified with Christ.
Right.
He's not talking about some little part of us. It's our whole being, you know.
Our whole being.
Under sin's rule.
So our entire identity, basically.
Exactly. And in Romans 6.6, he says that the body of sin is destroyed.
Okay.
Now, he's not talking about our physical bodies here.
Right, right.
It's our existence as defined by sin.
I see.
It's like our hard drive gets completely wiped clean and a whole new operating system is installed.
I love that analogy. So it's like we're given a brand new start.
Exactly. But Matthewson, he points out something that seems kind of contradictory.
Yeah.
If we're already dead to sin.
Right.
Why does Paul command us to consider ourselves that way?
Yeah, that's a head scratcher.
Right.
If it's already done, why do we have to keep reminding ourselves?
That's where we bump into the already but not yet tension of the Christian life.
Okay, yeah.
We've entered this new reality in Christ, but we're still living in a world where sin, it's very much present.
Very present, yeah. And our transformation is still a work in progress, right?
Absolutely. So we need those commands. Those imperatives, as Matthewson calls them, to help us live out the reality that's already true.
So it's like we're living in this in-between space. We're already free, but we still have to like fight for that freedom every day.
You got it. And that's where Romans 6.1 thing comes in.
Okay.
It's a command, you know,
to
actively align our thinking with this new reality.
So to consider ourselves dead to sin.
Yeah.
It means to actually live out the implications of what's already true in Christ.
Exactly.
So it's not just a like a mental exercise. Yeah. It's about changing the way we actually live.
Exactly. And Matthewson points out that this isn't a one-time event.
Mm-hmm.
It's a continuous process of reckoning with the truth of our freedom.
Okay, so how do we do that? What does reckoning with the truth of our freedom actually look like in our lives?
Well, for starters, Paul talks about no longer letting sin reign in our bodies.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us offering ourselves up as instruments of wickedness.
It's like he's saying, okay, you've been set free from sin's power.
Right.
Now don't go giving it control again.
Precisely. He's calling for this like conscious choice to align our actions with our new identity in Christ.
So it's not about passively accepting grace.
No.
It's about actively living it out.
That's it.
So what are some practical ways that we can actually do that?
Well, Paul contrasts offering our bodies to sin with offering ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness.
Okay.
It's about choosing to use our lives for his purposes.
Right.
Not being controlled by our old sinful desire.
That reminds me of something Paul says elsewhere about being slaves to righteousness.
Oh, yeah.
It's like we're not forced into obedience, right?
Mm-hmm.
We choose to serve a new master.
That's good.
One who brings true freedom and life.
That's a powerful connection. And it highlights how our desires actually change.
Right.
When we're united with Christ.
Yeah.
We start to willingly choose to serve God out of gratitude and love.
So it's not just about like outward behavior. It's about an inward transformation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that change, it comes from our union with Christ.
Yeah.
His death and resurrection.
Yeah.
They become the foundation for our new life.
Yeah.
Empowering us to live in a way that honors God.
Okay. It's like we're given a whole new set of blueprints for living.
That's it.
But there's still one thing that I'm not quite grasping.
Okay.
Matthewson mentioned something about indicative and imperative.
Yeah.
And how they relate to this whole already but not yet thing.
Right.
Can you help me connect those dots?
Of course. The indicative.
Okay.
It refers to statements about what is already true
because
of our union with Christ.
Like the fact that we've died to sin.
Exactly.
Been raised to new life.
That's it. Those are statements of fact.
Right.
Based on what Christ has done for us.
Okay. And the imperative.
Refers to the commands, you know.
Okay.
To live out those truths.
So, like, consider yourselves dead to sin.
Yes. Those commands, they call us to actively line up our thinking.
Okay.
And our behavior.
Right.
With what's already true.
Ah, okay, I see. But if it's already true that we're dead to sin.
Yeah.
Why do we need to be commanded to consider it so?
Right.
That's where I get tripped up.
And that brings us back to the tension, you know,
mm-hmm.
of the already and the not yet.
Right.
We've been brought into this new reality
yeah.
in Christ.
Right.
But we still live in a world mm-hmm. where sin is present.
Yeah.
And our transformation is a journey.
So we need those imperatives to remind us of who we are in Christ.
Yes.
And to help us keep moving in the right direction.
Exactly. The imperatives, they don't cancel out the indicative.
Okay.
They flow from it.
Mm-hmm.
They call us to embrace our freedom
yeah.
and live in a way
right.
that honors God.
It's like we're being challenged
yes.
to live in the already while still looking forward to yeah. the not yet.
Exactly.
I can definitely relate to that. There are times when I feel that tension so strongly.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm caught
yeah.
between two worlds.
I think we all feel that way sometimes. It's part of what it means
right.
to be a Christian.
Right.
You know? Living in this in-between space.
Mm.
But the good news is
yeah.
we don't have to figure it out on our own.
Right.
We have God's grace to empower us.
Yeah.
And we have the Holy Spirit to guide us.
So it's not about trying harder
no.
or being more like good.
No.
It's about relying on God's power
yes.
to transform us mm-hmm. from the inside out.
Absolutely. And that transformation,
yeah.
it leads to a life of obedience.
Okay.
Not out of fear. Or right. obligation.
Yeah.
But out of love and gratitude.
This is making me think about how we often focus on either grace or works.
Yeah.
But Paul seems to be saying it's both.
Right.
We're saved by grace, but that grace leads to a life
yes.
of obedience.
It's a great insight. It's not an either.
No.
It's a both hand.
Yeah.
We're freed from the burden of trying to earn our salvation.
Right.
But we're also empowered to live in a way
mm-hmm.
that reflects God's love.
Okay. That's making a lot more sense now.
Good.
This whole concept of being dead to sin and alive to God, it's really starting to click for me.
Good, good.
It's a challenge for sure.
Yes.
But it's also incredibly hopeful.
It really is. Knowing that we're united with Christ,
yeah.
it gives us this solid foundation, you know, for navigating the ups and downs of the Christian life.
So how does this union with Christ actually happen?
Mm.
Matthewson mentions it, but doesn't really dive in.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a profound mystery.
Yeah.
But one that has huge implications
right.
for how we live.
So we're united with Christ.
Right.
But how does that actually work?
Yeah, that's it.
What does it mean for his death and resurrection
right.
to become ours?
It is a deep mystery.
Yeah.
But thankfully,
okay.
Paul doesn't leave us hanging
right.
with just the theory.
Yeah.
He constantly reminds us
mm-hmm.
to live out this new reality.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what he means.
Okay.
By considering ourselves dead to sin and alive to God.
So it's both a profound theological truth.
Yes.
And a call to action.
Exactly. It's not enough to just like grasp this intellectually, you know?
Right.
We have to let it change our choices.
Yeah.
Our relationships, our whole way of being in the world.
It's like putting on a new pair of glasses.
Uh-huh.
Suddenly we see everything differently.
Yes.
Sin doesn't have that same grip on us anymore.
Right.
We're free to live for something bigger, something
yeah.
more meaningful.
Absolutely. And that freedom, it's not just for us.
Right.
It spills over, you know,
okay.
into our relationships.
Yeah.
How we interact with the world around us.
So when we're truly free from sin's control.
Yeah.
We can love and serve others more genuinely.
Absolutely.
Like we're not so bogged down
no.
by our own selfish desires.
Precisely. Paul's vision of freedom, it's deeply connected
okay.
to love and service.
Yeah.
It's not about self-indulgence,
yeah.
but about becoming more like Christ,
mm-hmm.
who gave himself up for us.
That makes me think about times, you know,
yeah.
I've tried to be good,
mm-hmm.
do the right thing
right.
out of sheer willpower.
Yeah.
It never seems to last.
It's tough. Right?
Yeah. But if this freedom is rooted in Christ's work.
Yes.
In his death and resurrection.
Uh-huh.
That changes everything.
It does. It's not about mustering up more effort.
Okay.
But about tapping into the power that's already at work within us.
Right.
Through our union with Christ.
This whole conversation has been so eye-opening.
Good.
I'm starting to see Romans 6.1:11 in a whole new light.
That's great.
It's not just about rules
no.
or trying to be a better person.
Right.
It's about this radical transformation that happens.
Yes.
When we're united with Christ.
And that transformation, it's a journey.
Right.
There will be times when we stumble,
yeah.
fall back into old patterns.
Yeah, for sure.
But that doesn't mean we've lost our freedom.
Right.
It just means we need to keep reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ.
Okay.
and keep choosing to walk in that freedom.
It's like we're learning to walk in a new way.
Yeah.
And sometimes we trip, but we get back up and keep going.
Yes.
Knowing that Christ is with us every step of the way.
Beautifully said. This passage in Romans, it's an invitation, you know?
Yeah.
To experience a deeper level of freedom in life than we ever thought possible.
Absolutely.
It's a challenge to embrace the reality of our union with Christ and let it transform us from the inside out.
This deep dive has given me so much to think about, to wrestle with, and to celebrate.
I love that.
It's pushed me to examine my own life and ask how I'm living out this truth of being dead to sin and alive to God.
And that's the beauty of a passage like Romans 6.1.11, right?
Yeah.
It's not just an ancient text to be studied.
Yeah.
It's a living word
that
speaks to us today.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Romans 6.1.11.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope it sparked some new questions and insights for you.
Yes.
And helped you see this powerful passage
Absolutely.
In a fresh way.
It's a good one.
Until next time, keep diving.